Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The College Football Experience March Check-In episode on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, presented by WynnBET. For every $25 you bet in college basketball, WynnBET is giving you a chance to win a trip to Las Vegas for March Madness and $1,000 in free WynnBET credits. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com, and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. We're also brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing DFS app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as 15 grand with one entry. Head over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And last but not least, we're brought to you by us. Yes, the SGPN app is live in the App Store and Google Play Store. It is your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. So grab that thing today and let it ride.
Hey, this is Eric Metcalf. You're listening to SGPN. Let it ride.
College Football Experience March Madness for college football. Yes, we can talk March college football because we talk college football year round on the College Football Experience. And people, they've slid into my DMs, they've tweeted me, they've tagged me and stuff, and they have questions regarding college football in 2022. As what are we, 5 months away? 5 months away. Crazy off season. We got all that stuff covered and more. My name is Colby Swingin' Dan to Base Dan, AKA Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
Nobody knows nothing.
Somebody knows. Double the price, but no one touches Dundee.
Yes, yes, yes. And look, the news isn't just going. It's not like it's going absolutely crazy here. But you know, news is happening a little bit here, a little bit there. You know, a crazy off season with coaching hires, crazy off season with the transfer portal, as we're seeing. And that's, what's crazy is a guy that covers college football and college basketball. You're just like, wow. Okay. College basketball warned me for college football this past year when, like, I feel like there's certain teams, take Towson in college basketball, for example. It's like their whole team transferred Oregon State the year before. So they gave us a warning because with college football, it's certainly happening and things are changing daily. There's just players just all over the landscape entering the transfer portal, whether it's FBS or FCS. And I imagine I haven't even dove in the D2 or D3, but on all fronts. So that's going to be something that is going to be a storyline each and every month. Each and every month of this season will be, you know, of this off season will be that. Right now, you know, I'm going to get right out the gate because we have questions going on all across. I have a slew of DMs that I've basically had for the past. I've kind of held on to them since, I don't know, maybe like mid January. But we got to talk about these. The hot seat right now in college football. Scott Frost. I got a DM saying, "Do I think Scott Frost makes it through the year?" And you know, I kind of was on that Nebraska hill last year. But I'll say this: Mark Whipple, Casey Thompson, those are guys that I think will probably pay off. And I think the biggest thing personally is the Nebraska schedule. I think it's much easier than a season ago. Now they still got to win these games that are kind of toss up games. We saw it last year, week zero, they played Illinois in a game that they, in my opinion, they should have won, but they just kept shooting themselves in the foot, which seemed to be the case really for Scott Frost's entire career at Nebraska as a head coach. Week zero, they play Northwestern, and we'll see when the win totals come out. Obviously we got you covered on the College Football Experience. Subscribe, tell a friend, all that good stuff. We go through every team in all 130 teams and then the FCS. But they got to win week zero against Northwestern. That's a 50-50 game that I feel like, yes, I know they beat Northwestern last year. I actually went to that game in Lincoln, Nebraska, but this is one, I compare it to the Illinois game in week zero a year ago. They can't afford to lose that game. They got to win that game. And Northwestern, they were terrible last year, but normally when Pat Fitzgerald has a terrible year, he bounces back with a great year. Now we'll see. I know obviously their legendary defensive coordinator, he retired last year, and last year the defense was terrible without him. And that's Fitzgerald's specialty, and you know, they lost one of their key players that got transferred to Notre Dame, and we'll talk more on that in a bit. But and then the offense, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a game Nebraska should be a favorite in, and it is in Ireland. So I mean, maybe I don't know. Pat Fitzgerald in Ireland. I think Nebraska wins that game. So I'm just gonna blindly right now in March. Don't hold me to this. By the time July rolls around or June. North Dakota, the Fighting Hawks in FCS, not a terrible team in the FCS. That's their week two opponent. I think they'll take care of business there. Georgia Southern week three, I think they'll take care of business there. Georgia Southern, had they stuck to their triple option, I thought could have been a dangerous opponent. No, they went out and hired Clay Helton. They brought in Kyle Vantrease, the quarterback from Buffalo. I think Georgia Southern's making a mistake ditching the triple option personally, because they've had great success. They've won countless, how many national championships in the FCS, and then how many bowl seasons with the triple option? I think they're crazy to leave the triple option and go to a pro style offense, and especially with the Sun Belt. And we'll touch more on that in a bit, but that should be a win. So I got them 3-0, and then hosting Oklahoma. Now we know Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley's gone. He's at USC. In comes in Dylan Gabriel now at quarterback, because Williams is gone, and now I don't know what to expect. I mean, yes, I would imagine they're going to be fine offensively and defensively, but we also don't know what to expect. I mean, Brent Venables is a guy that, well, he goes out and gets Jeff Lebby. So I think the offense will move, but I don't know what to expect. I don't know how good do I think they'll be. I mean, I think they'll be contending in the Big 12. That's a winnable game for Nebraska. Wouldn't shock me at all if they won that game. Even if they lose that, 3-1 out the gate is a great start for the first month of the season. Then they're home to Indiana. I think they could potentially be, I think they could be, you know, 5-0 here, but 4-1 or 5-0. I think they'll beat Indiana in Lincoln. Then they're at Rutgers, which is a winnable game. I think they go in that. Then they're at Purdue. I think that's probably going to be a loss, but it's winnable. Home to Illinois. I think that's a win. Home to Minnesota. Winnable. At Michigan. Loss. home to Wisconsin, winnable. At Iowa is winnable, but I would favor Iowa. So I think, you know, what will they be happy with? I think there's a great chance this team is 9-3, 8-4, 7-5. Wouldn't even shock me too much if they went 10-2. It's a great schedule. So that to answer your question, I think Frost is going to save by Trev Alberts coming in and giving him that extra year. I think it's going to save his job. Now Fred Hoiberg, college basketball, I can't say the same. We'll see. But they have played better the past two games. So that's the first question there on that. But that's regarding the hot seat. Do I think he will, and yes, who else would I have on the hot seat? Well, Brian Harsin is the obvious one. I would be willing to bet he doesn't make it through the season. Jeff Collins is one that comes to mind at Georgia Tech. Was surprised to see him get an extra year, but I'm not saying I just don't know that he's got a winning percentage of 26% so far. I wonder. I mean, Carl Durrell. Is that one we mentioned that could be on the hot seat with Colorado? Their offense was terrible. They just lost a ton of players in the transfer portal. So I think that's one we got to keep an eye out on. I'll say this, with Arizona State having this big problem going on right now, I don't know if Herm Edwards is going to coach there in August or September. Colorado could grab. I mean, the problem is Colorado's schedule's insane. They play 11 power fives and the 12th game is a road game at Air Force. I just think that's a really hard deal for Carl Durrell. And I don't see a way he's extremely successful. Now, yes, you could potentially beat Arizona State. You could potentially beat Arizona still, I would say, but I you're not beating USC, UCLA or Utah, I don't think. So it's amazing what has happened to that program as a program in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s was always ranked and always good. That's a program that's just a mess. It's an absolute mess, and they need to be smart and invest in football, because football feeds all their stuff. Football feeds all their stuff. So I'm gonna say Carl Durrell. Jeff Collins, I'd be shocked if he's at Georgia Tech after next year. I think they'd probably give him the maybe the whole year. I don't know, but then again, could you go 6-6 and make a bowl and go 7-6, win their bowl game in Atlanta? We know this: Virginia Tech, Virginia, and Duke are breaking in new head coaches. Let's just pull up. Well, let's pull up Georgia Tech's schedule real quick. Georgia Tech. This is talk about another one that maybe shouldn't have ditched the triple option. They went to two Orange Bowls with the triple option, right? They are going to be playing. So they get Clemson week one, loss. Western Carolina, the Catamounts week two. That's a win. Ole Miss week three, that's a loss. UCF at UCF week four, that's a loss. At Pitt week five, that should be a loss. Home to Duke, winnable game. I'll give it to him, even though I think Duke going out and hiring Mike Elko, I think good hire. They get a bye week. They're home to Virginia. Virginia returns Brandon Armstrong. I would assume Virginia wins that game. They're at Florida State. They're at Virginia Tech. I don't expect them to win those, but I know they've played Florida State well, I think, since in the past few years. I'll even give them one of those games between Virginia, Florida State, and Virginia Tech. Let's say they pull an upset. Then they're home to Miami, a loss, at North Carolina, loss, at Georgia, loss. So I got this team winning three games, and I think he's fired. I think he's fired. I think he should be fired. Let's take a look at the Colorado Buffalo schedule, because I think this is a brutal schedule. Okay. Home to TCU. That's actually a winnable game, because TCU is bringing in Sonny Dykes. They're running the air raid. In Boulder though, I think that's a winnable game. So maybe they can pull that one off. I think it's kind of a 50-50 game. I would favor TCU, though, by a field goal. At Air Force the very next week, Air Force beat them in Boulder. Air Force won, like, what, 10 games last year? I think they lose that game. Colorado's whole defense transferred. They have the most transfers in all of FBS, by the way. That transferred out, that is. Week three, they're at Minnesota. I expect them to lose that. Home to UCLA, lose that. At Arizona. Okay, so circle that. Maybe let's just give them TCU, even though I gun to my head, I'd probably take TCU. That would be two wins for Arizona. They welcome Cal to Boulder after a bye week. I'll even say, like, okay, maybe they could get that one, but between me giving them TCU, I'm going to give them a loss to Cal. Then they go to Corvallis. They'll lose to Oregon State. They're home to Arizona State. Depending on how bad Arizona State is with the transfer portal in the coming months and the Herm Edwards situation, that's a potential winning game. And they've also played Arizona State fairly well, I believe. Then they're home to Oregon, loss, at USC, loss, at Washington, loss, home to Utah, loss. Three wins. Carl Durrell fired. Go get Eric Bieniemy. All right. Those are the ones that I would. I mean, they're going to be fired. Auburn with Brian Harsin. Let's take a look at this thing. Well, they get Mercer week one. Was Mercer? No, it was Samford that lit up Florida last year. They'll beat Mercer week two. They get San Jose State. They should beat San Jose State. Wouldn't that be funny if San Jose State won that game? Week three, they're home to Penn State. It's winnable. I actually think Penn State might win that game, though, based off of Auburn losing some key players in the transfer portal. But let's just give them it. That's a fit. Let's say the home atmosphere, they get Penn State. They're 3-0. They're home to Missouri, 4-0. Home to LSU. Shit, they could be 5-0 to start the. Maybe he doesn't get fired. But here's where it goes downhill. I bet you they probably lose to LSU. So let's say 4-1 at Georgia, 4-2 at Ole Miss, 4-3. Fired right there. They got a bye week. You fire them right there because Auburn never lets Auburn won't wait to the end of the year to do that. Either way, I don't expect Auburn to be very good, but I will say this schedule does kind of break nice for them. They don't have a road game until October 8th. Surprise, surprise. I mean, shit, compare that to, they don't have a road game till October 8th. What Georgia Tech plays two road games, like two and a half road games, before October 8th. Comparing that to the other guys on the hot seat, like Colorado plays what three road games before October 8th. So if anything, Harsin might have the best chances to get out of this thing. Other coaches that could get hired, could get fired. I mean, I think potentially, what's my guy? Dino Babers. That's one that I think it's a make or break year for him at Syracuse. I think Mike Norvell, we could add to that list. I think Steve Sarkisian after a 5-7 season, losing to Kansas, those three we can throw on that list. Is there a fourth that we could throw on that list? I don't think so. I think they would give Tom Allen another year or two. Pac-12. I think everyone would stay in the Pac-12 there, with exception, obviously, Herm Edwards, the Arizona State situation. If he's coaching, then he's definitely on the hot seat. But I would say those are the guys at Big 12. I'm trying to think of anyone else. No, drawing blanks. ACC, SEC, maybe. I mean, the SEC will fire some coaches sometimes for. But I don't think they would fire anyone that I'm thinking of right now off the top of my head. I think everyone but Harsin is probably safe. I mean Leach, I think they would give him more time because his track record proves that. Anyway, I want to tell you that College Football Experience is brought to you by WinBet. For every $25 you bet on college football, WinBet is giving you a chance to win a trip to Las Vegas for March Madness and $1,000 in free WinBet credits. Download the WinBet app now or visit winbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Head over to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. We're also brought to you by StableDuel. StableDuel is a horse racing DFS app where you can play free and paid games for real cash prizes. You can win as much as 25 grand with one entry. Head over to StableDuel.com to get started today. And last but not least, we're brought to you by us. Yes, the SGPN app is live in the App Store and Google Play Store. It is free to download. It is your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. So grab that thing today and let it ride. And folks, it's March Madness. Subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. Don't forget that. Daily shows for the past all year. I mean, when we're in season, you get a College Basketball Experience episode every day. Off season, it's weekly. But we got you covered. We talk college basketball year round over there. We talk college football year round over here. And also remember to subscribe to the USFL gambling podcast, which I host with Patty C and NC Nick. Also Rod Villa Gomez, Adam Pelletier, all these guys coming in. And we kind of have a big party with talking USFL. Season kicks April 16th. We just did a 35 round live draft reaction show when that was happening. And we've had a couple guests for a couple draft picks that just came on the show. Most recently, Toby Johnson, a former Georgia Bulldog, came on the show. Go check out that episode. USFL Gambling Podcast. It's on Twitter at USFL Gambling. So give that a follow as well. Back talking college football, March Madness style. Question here from, what is this? Barndog 7. What are the best low key transfers that will pay off next year? Keyword is low key. I guess that's subjective. So I would say low key transfers. You probably want to say, I don't know. I guess I got to pull up because I don't know what would be like. Is Adrian Martinez a low key transfer? Cause I do think he could work out with the Kansas State Wildcats. I would say after that, I'm pulling up the transfer portal. So I know what the hell I could like, cause obviously Spencer Rattler is not a low key transfer. Let's hop into let's go quarterback position. Cause those are the big names. Well, we're waiting on Jaden Daniels. He's low key because everyone else has transferred, but he's a big name. And I guess we should talk about that. Cause that's one of the other questions. Where do I think Jaden Daniels will land? He's in the transfer portal currently. And if you don't know Jaden Daniels, he's from Pasadena, California, and he's been the quarterback of Arizona State. I think he's extremely talented. So I'll start there. As far as teams, I made this case on another episode. Baylor stands out to me as the one that would benefit the most from him. The teams that would benefit the most that are is Baylor, which I think he would do. I think Notre Dame would be one. I think Cincinnati. I think those three we should all circle. You could throw Auburn in there, but I think he would be scared by the coaching situation because we know Harsin probably not going to be there. So I'm going to say Auburn won't really work. A&M seems to really like their quarterback situation with Johnson transferring in and then bringing back the kid that got injured. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. I guess we should not rule out Auburn and A&M, but I would be surprised. LSU is one that I know they're Miles Brennan's coming back, but that one makes sense to me too. But at the same time, Brian Kelly has not had a great success in quarterbacks translating to the NFL. So I think that's potentially scary. I'll tell you this. If Georgia Tech wants any chance at, cause I'm trying to think of who has like, who could he go and start day? Well, first off, if Clemson doesn't really take transfers with the exception, I know they just got Hunter Johnson back from Northwestern, but he had previously been with the program. I think Clemson is one where he could walk in and start. Obviously I know they got the ukulele and then the freshman that's a stud coming in, but same with Penn State. They're returning a veteran quarterback and Clifford, and they have, a five-star coming in, but for 1 year, I think Jaden Daniels would start. I don't expect them to do that with Clifford. Maybe Clemson. I could see Clemson, but Dabo's been pretty
pretty outspoken on the transfer portal there. So how about like Wisconsin? He could start at Wisconsin tomorrow. Maybe he goes to Wisconsin. Michigan State is one. I know they're probably happy with Peyton Thorne, but maybe Michigan is one where I think he could start. McNamara played solid, but I think he would be a starter at Michigan. I know they have the other kid too. Georgia has Stetson Bennett returning. They're not going to ditch that. Oregon. I know they got Bo Nix, but I actually do think Jaden Daniels would start over Bo Nix right away. That's one to monitor. I mean, some of this Pac-12 schools, because if he wants to stay in the West, hell, Colorado is one that could benefit greatly from him. I don't know how many games they would win, but I can tell you this. If you tell me Jaden Daniels is the quarterback of Colorado, they go from like a 3-win team to a potential 6-win team to me. Maybe Oregon State or Cal or Stanford. Probably not Stanford. I would say Cal maybe. They got Jack Plummer coming in from Purdue. Maybe. I mean, obviously I would take Jaden Daniels over Plummer, but Plummer's not bad. Texas Tech is another one I'd circle. Texas Tech would be one. I mean, he could start at Illinois or Syracuse, but I don't, or Vandy or Duke, but I would be shocked if he went there. It's going to be very interesting to watch. How about this as a long shot? Colorado State. Jane Orvell and Matt Mummy's, Hal Mummy's son, they run the air raid, which I think more and more quarterbacks are going to the NFL with air raid. You know, you're going to sling that rock all over the field. So maybe I know that's a mid-major. I would be, frankly, I would be surprised if it was any mid-major. To me, it'd be Cincinnati. But I'm just going to throw Colorado State out in that mix. Colorado. So to me, I mean, BYU, maybe, but I don't think so. Cause I don't think so. BYU doesn't really play that transfer game a lot too, I feel like. How about San Diego State? He's a Southern California kid. Maybe. And I know they're bringing in Braxton Burmeister from Virginia Tech, but maybe that one. But I'll say this: Baylor, Notre Dame, Cincinnati, Wisconsin are the four that like could benefit greatly day one. I have no idea if they're interested. We shall see. Other impact transfers. By the way, did you guys see this one? Andrew Peasley, who was a quarterback that got some reps with Utah State, he transfers to Wyoming. Wyoming starting quarterback this past year, Levi Williams, transfers from Wyoming to Utah State. We basically have a trade going on, folks. That was a trade. And by the way, we need to like, I need to just play some type of sound effect here, because one of the worst things happened, and NC Nick's been calling for this. He said when he saw the portal go this crazy, it would happen. Let's just go right here. That is us shooting down this. I cannot believe I read this today or a couple days ago. We got 4-star Malik Heath, wide receiver for Mississippi State, transfers to Ole Miss. NC Nick was calling for this. He said there's going to be a point where either a guy goes from Auburn to Bama or Duke to Carolina in basketball, or you know, one of these Michigan to Ohio State or vice versa. Well, it turns out this is the first one that I've noticed. From Mississippi State to Ole Miss, brutal, absolutely brutal. And that to me is where I will disagree with the transfer portal. That's where I'm like, look, I think players should play everywhere, but man, that's just, I don't like seeing it, but I guess it's going to be good headlines when they play each other. So maybe it'll grow on me. Other transfer portal news, or who else would I like in the transfer portal? As a surprise, I think Taylor Martinez. Did I say Taylor Martinez? Adrian Martinez. It's not football season. Would be one that I think could work out. Kansas State always loves those athletic quarterbacks, and I feel like that could work out there. Jaden Delora going from Wazoo to Arizona was interesting to me, because I thought the offense at Wazoo was so much better than Arizona's, but maybe that will work out. Obviously Jackson Dart, but I feel like that's a big, that everyone knows that one. That's going to be in all the publications. Ole Miss's offense, Dart with Kiffin. That one makes sense as a big headline. So I'm trying to give you ones that are like, kind of, I think the Adrian Martinez one, And I'm going to, here's one for you. Lindsey Scott, quarterback of Nichols. Oh no, I'm sorry. No. Lindsey Scott went from Nichols to Incarnate Word in the FCS. I know we're talking Incarnate Word here, but that guy puts up monster numbers. He's a player. Lindsey Scott from Nichols to Incarnate Word. That is one. And then I'll circle the guy who left Incarnate Word, Cameron Ward, who went to Wazoo. I'm going to go ahead and say this. I think Cameron Ward is going to have much better numbers this year than Jaden Delora will have at Arizona, if they both stay healthy. Those ones would be the ones that jump out to me. Obviously this one too, John Rhys Plumlee. I liked him at Ole Miss, and they took him when Matt Luke was the coach there and Rich Rodriguez was the OC. I liked him. And then Kiffin comes in and he makes him like a wide receiver or something, but I could see it with Gus Malzahn at UCF. John Rhys Plumlee is one that I think is going to be a pain in the ass for the AAC. Every other team, I think Rhys Plumlee is going to be a baller in that offense. So I would circle that one. Grant Wells, I think, from Marshall to Virginia Tech is another one. I got to see the way the new Hokie offense will be, but I was impressed by him at Marshall. Ben Bryant is one that is going from Eastern Michigan to Cincinnati. He was previously at Cincinnati, so maybe that could work out. You know, I thought Desmond Ritter actually like was kind of an average quarterback. I didn't think he was great. I think that's one thing Cincinnati missed by being elite is they didn't have a great quarterback. Now, Ben Bryant, I don't know that he's great, but I'm saying I think he could have a good year and people be like, wow, who is this guy? Obviously Casey Thompson, but I think that one's publications are going to cover that with Mark Whipple. Casey Thompson going from Texas to Nebraska. I would say those, you circle those. I think those, I'll throw out another one that maybe would be surprising. Taquan Roberson from Penn State to UConn. Jim Mora Jr. is that friend of the program, but he's the head coach at UConn now. Maybe, just maybe, they can get some things rolling there. Year one. He's a talented recruit. Why not? But those would be my picks there. I'm trying to think. Maybe Chevin Cordero at San Jose State would be another one that would catch my eye. So that's my answer there. I don't really have Raymond Jefferson, who went from Sam Houston State as a running back to Colorado, I think is one that could be a slept on get for the Buffs. What else do we got on this questions? Who is your most interesting team to watch this year for each conference? And then we're probably get out of here after that. I want to talk a little bit about the Sun Belt, but the AAC, you know who that is. All right. We believe in the Pirates, in the spirit of ECU. I do think East Carolina's program's heading in the right direction. You know, obviously I'm an ECU fan, so it's tough to ignore that, but
because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
That's my guy, Steve Logan. I need to get Steve Logan on the show. That is one. To me, I mean, obviously UCF with John Rhys Plumlee, circle that. East Carolina's growth with Mike Houston. Can they take the next step? Holton Allers is back. I think so. I think those two teams are the teams that I'm eager to see. I mean, maybe you could throw Houston into the mix with Dana Holgorsen, Clayton Toon. ACC, I think obviously the Florida State Miami thing are two ones that everyone wants to see. I don't know that Norvell's the answer. So those two would be, can they get the programs back rolling? But I'll tell you one that I'm kind of interested to see is Boston College with Jerkovic coming back. Boston College been recruiting better than they ever have in the modern era. I'm going to say Boston College is one in the ACC. Big 12. You know my answer. It was the team that I backed last year as my lock, my number one lock, Kansas over two win or over one win, which happened when they beat Texas in Austin. It's the Kansas Jayhawks. Lance Leopold. I'm a huge fan of him. I think he's a fantastic coach. I'm most excited to see them. Potentially a little bit of Iowa State or Oklahoma State. Can they keep it up? But I think Kansas is the team that, and low key, I think Texas Tech will be fun. Will be an interesting team to watch. That's fucking half the Big 12, but Big 10. I think it's got to be Michigan, right? Can they build on that? Michigan, maybe Rutgers with the recruiting classes Shiano's put together. And I guess Nebraska, like week in, week out, we'll be watching those with those storylines. Can Michigan stay afloat and can they beat Ohio State again and win the Big Ten East? Rutgers' growth and Scott Frost potentially getting fired from a week to week basis. That's probably going to be the big storylines there. Conference USA, which is hilarious. They have all those teams that left for the Sun Belt. They're going to go to court. And by the way, Charlie Brewer, former quarterback of Baylor in Utah, he transferred to Liberty. Watch out for Hugh Freeze with Charlie Brewer. And he also got what's his name? The receiver from the running back wide receiver from Hawaii, Day Hunter. Liberty might be sneaky good, but they're not in the CUSA yet. So, shit, UTSA again. Let's go UTSA. I'm eager to watch them. They get what, Houston and Army on the schedule early for the independents. I think Notre Dame with Marcus Freeman is by far number one, but I do think I'm interested to see Jim Mora Jr. and Don Brown at UConn and UMass. Even Jerry Kill at New Mexico State could be fun. You know, I'm a triple option guy, so I always want to see how Army, Navy, Air Force do, and should be Georgia Southern, those bastards in the MAC. It's got to be Joe Moorhead at Akron. That's my number one to watch, I think, to see how fast he can turn that, if he can turn it around. Maybe a little bit of Northern Illinois, too. See if Thomas Hammett can keep it up. They were extremely lucky last year. I know they won a lot of close games. Mountain West. I would say Boise State, probably. Avalos, year two. Bachmeyer back. But maybe Fresno State with Jake Hayner, or maybe Air Force. I'll just go my homer triple option attack. Pac-12 team. It's got to be USC and UCLA. I would say, right? Can LA continue to grow and get better as a conference right there? I mean, as a city with UCLA and USC there. SEC, you know, we're friends with Mike Leach. I think year three and four and five in historically in Leach systems has been when they've had their greatest success. Year three at Washington State, he still didn't have that success. I think it was year four in Wazoo. But I think year three in Lubbock is when he had a pretty damn good season. Not he didn't have his greatest season, but I think he had like a decent season year three. So I would say those two. Obviously Leach is a friend, so we want to see that. Brian Kelly at LSU. I'm there every week for that fun. And I love Sam Pittman, but Brian Kelly already being like ridiculous, losing these fucking videos, the halftime speech at the basketball game. I signed me up all day for that. Sign me up all day for watching that. Sun Belt. All right, now this one's is key because I'm really excited for the Sun Belt. Sun Belt's low key like one of my favorite conferences, and these new divisions are going to be great. This new expanded Sun Belt. This is like, I can't wait to watch Sun Belt. I always love the Sun Belt, but now you got Have you guys seen this yet? The Sun Belt. The new Sun Belt East is App State, Coastal Carolina, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, JMU, Marshall, Old Dominion. That is awesome. I remember watching an App State Marshall in the past last year or the year before, I think both years. And I said, they should be rivals. I had no idea that they were going to end up in the same conference just a year later, but here we are. That is awesome. I can't wait for it. And then the Sun Belt East or the Sun Belt West, I'm sorry, is just it's a little weak, but Arkansas State, Louisiana, ULM with Terry Bowden. That should be fun to watch them. South Alabama, Southern Miss, who, you know, if they can ever return to their days back in the 80s and 90s and even early 2000s, I love Southern Miss, Texas State, and Troy. So the Sun Belt East, though, fuck yeah. Sun Belt East is going to be a blast night in, night out. So, or I should say, not night in, night out, week in, week out. I'm still in college basketball mode, but sign me up for all those games. I will say the team that will probably be Coastal Carolina with the return of Grayson McCall, but I don't know. Bryce is back at App State. JMU's in year one. Those ones are all compelling to me. And ULM a little bit with Terry Bowden. Sign me up. All right, folks, subscribe to the College Football Experience. We're on Twitter at TCE on SGPN as well. I'm on Twitter at TheColbyD. Give us all a follow. We got more college football to talk year round. We got you covered. Subscribe, tell a friend. Also subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. Subscribe to the USFL Gambling Podcast. Subscribe to the Sports Gambling Podcast. And remember, if you're in Vegas, we're there for March Madness. So come say hello. I can always talk college football. Let's go. FCS. I'm excited. I could always talk. I mean, FCS, I touched on Incarnate Word right there. I'm excited to watch them play this year. I'm excited to watch football. College football is the best. All right. I mean, college basketball postseason is my number one, but I can always talk college basketball, college football. And yeah, let's do this thing. All right, folks, this is the College Football Experience. You better start thinking about yours, and we out of here.